guys, welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em, and this week I'm sitting down and chatting with Kim Smith.
Getting rid of things, moving away from things that didn't serve me, and replacing that with more joyful habits.
Kim Smith is the co-founder of holistic wellness and CBD brand Chloris. Previously working in the music industry, Kim's personal journey with burnout, anxiety, career change, motherhood, and skin issues has been poured into the inspiration behind Chloris's product innovation and functionality. I thought this episode with Kim was honestly brilliant. She is sharing her raw experience with burnout, anxiety, and really probing us to think about how we're dealing with stress in our own lives. She's also educating us in depth on the topic of CBD and leaving us with tangible tips on how to implement it into our daily routine if we're interested, and helping us to break through the market noise. That's enough from me. Let's get into my chat with Kim. Kim, hi. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
We are so excited to finally have you on the pod, Kim. To get started, do you mind giving our audience a brief background on who you are?
Of course. Yeah. So I'm Kim. I'm 39. I'm a mom. I worked for almost 20 years in music and the arts. For the last 12 years, I've worked for myself. So either freelance or running my own consultancies. And about 3 years ago, I started Chloris with two friends. Chloris is a premium wellness brand. We focus on CBD, plant-based formulas, with sustainability a huge focus in all that we do. We span supplements, skincare, and topicals.
Perfect. And Kim, on this podcast, I love to hone in on our guests' big moves. So whether it's moving to a new country or a city, or launching the brand or the business, those big transitions in life that I feel like really shape us and our stories. So for you, I'd love to talk about your transition. I know that you pivoted from working in the music industry to then launching Chloris. What was sort of like the main catalyst to this career pivot for you?
Yeah, there was a mixture of good and bad elements. So I guess the not so easy things, but, you know, in hindsight, I'm all sort of super grateful for. They were sort of part of the growth, and they were definitely pivotal in terms of the changes happening, was the negative impact that my life and my career working within the music industry had started to have on me and my well-being. It got to a kind of a stage where it was generating such anxiety in me that I became quite addicted to beta blockers, which is often prescribed for people with anxiety. But it's actually quite a serious heart medication as well. So it's not a kind of lighthearted thing to take. It started off with just needing it for stressful situations like big meetings or presentations. And slowly it kind of seeped its way into every aspect of my life. And I was taking beta blockers all day long. All day, every day, just to do anything, even social situations. and I should actually, I guess, at this point, I always make a point of saying that there's absolutely nothing wrong with medication. There's no shame, there's no stigma. I was very, very fortunate that my anxieties and stresses were very situational based, and I've never suffered with depression, which, as I say, I'm very, very grateful for. So I kind of naturally started to look at other natural solutions and remedies and addressing my lifestyle in a kind of honest way. And I had to sort of see that it was no longer working for me. So that was one big kind of pivotal reason as to where I started to look to make big changes in my life. And then at this time, around the same time, I also made a very positive move to the countryside, which was all very much interlinked to wanting to make positive changes to my lifestyle. And when I was there, I started to have a deep interest in nature and plants, and I became pregnant in the first few months of moving to the countryside. So having a baby, moving to the countryside, and having a previous dependency on beta blockers were my main kind of catalysts for changing my lifestyle and for Chloris to be kind of dreamt up and become a possibility.
Wow. Thank you for sharing all of that. And we have so many more questions to sort of get into around your journey with launching Chloris. I guess you and I initially spoke about anxiety and burnout specifically. Can you kind of take us back to that time period and your sort of personal journey with burnout? Like, how and when did that kind of come up for you?
Of course, yeah. I feel very, very thankful. I feel like I've only had real burnout once in my life. And it was around this time, the big catalyst of changes happening. And I feel like burnout always kind of comes at the end of something. Or should I say, in a positive way, the start of something new, like the next phase. Because I sort of feel like post-burnout, you can't carry on in the same way as you were before. It would just be like madness not to address that. And I kind of dealt with it in the way that I deal with everything, which is just doing an action, but in a much more sort of gentle way. So little bits, little step by steps daily, and mostly on a practical level kind of involved getting rid of things, moving away from things that didn't serve me and replacing that with more joyful habits and adopting more joyful, positive habits. And thankfully, my burnout phase was very intense, but it was short and it hasn't returned. But anxiety for me is a whole different ballgame. It's something that is kind of an ongoing scenario where it kind of morphs into different phases of my life and ebbs and flows, but it's a lot more present and a lot more constant. So that's, for me personally, the thing I've had to learn to manage more is more the anxiety rather than the intense burnout situations.
Absolutely. I can totally relate to that so much. I feel like once you kind of experience anxiety in your life, I know for me personally, it sort of never goes away. It sort of just, like you said, it kind of morphs with each stage of life. So for you, I guess, do burnout and anxiety sort of go hand in hand, or you think they're like sort of siloed things for you that you've dealt with in your life?
Yeah, they're separate for me for sure. I always describe it like burnout was this sort of short, unpleasant visitor, whereas anxiety is like the pest that won't leave. Like it keeps coming back for more, just in different ways. I definitely have a better handle on managing it these days, and CBD has been a big part of that, among other tools and techniques. What I found kind of really useful with anxiety was to learn to identify what it really feels like for me, because I appreciate it can be so different for everybody. And for me, anxiety is when I feel extremely overwhelmed and nervous at the same time. So it feels like a very, very physical thing. You know, I feel it in my chest. I feel it in my stomach. And that's when I know I feel anxious and I need to just take a moment and try and kind of bring back to my center. And to be completely honest, like I say, I don't have all the answers. And sometimes that could be multiple times a day. Sometimes it might not be for a week, you know. It really depends what's going on. But just being able to kind of identify what those feelings are helps me work out what I should do in the next steps or the next moments.
So Kim, on the top of, you know, dealing with anxiety throughout your life, was there ever a point where you thought, you know what, I need to seek out therapy, or I should talk to someone, or I guess, do you have any advice for listeners who maybe are starting to feel some of the things that we're talking about?
Yeah, I've done talking therapies intermittently throughout those periods that we were talking about, and I found it extremely helpful. I think everyone responds well to different things, and sort of just finding the person that you kind of feel you gel with. Something I see this wonderful woman like intermittently throughout my life, and she does talking therapies whilst doing acupuncture. So that I've found to just be the most incredibly powerful, helpful additional tools. And I see her even sometimes when I don't feel like there's anything quote unquote wrong. I just like to go her. She's like a good reset, and she helps me clear through anything I'm feeling at the time before things build up. But I'm such an advocate for having a safe space where you can just sit and voice how you feel.
Absolutely. And so shifting gears a little bit, can you share with us like when and why you started to get into CBD?
Sort of 3-4 years ago, I guess it was equal parts frustration and like deep nerd level interest with CBD. I had been using it. I was seeing great results for taking it for my own personal anxiety, my day-to-day stress, which fed into my sleep issues. Sometimes I would have disturbed sleep because if I was stressed, and also period pains, which was at points really debilitating for me. I was kind of, when I was getting good results with it, it was super pleasing. But then on the flip side, I was like frustrated at the lack of like decent quality products that were available on the market a few years ago. And like, I'm quite fussy and like, I have quite, quite a large checklist of stuff when I'm trying to, you know, when I'm spending my money. So I'm like, I wanted to find the highest quality products that were consistent with that quality in held in formulas that like I actually wanted to use, you know, not full of nasties. I couldn't find anything that seemed to be properly developed or backed by plant scientists in the way that, that Chloris is now, for example. I couldn't find anything that also, on top of that, had the right sustainability or environmental credentials. Like I didn't want a product wrapped in plastic or, you know, loads of preservatives. And I you know, CBD is from the most incredible, beautiful plant. It just felt like everything I was taking was sort of removed from its essential nature. So myself and the other two founders, Matt and Pedram, were also equally nerd level interest in CBD and also taking it for their own reasons. We're seeing the same kind of frustration with sometimes not being able to find exactly what they want. And we are super fortunate to have plant scientists in the family. So we were just always talking about it. It was just like such a discussion, ongoing discussion point, that we really decided to see if we could do better, really, and create our own range. So that was the start of it, like four years ago now.
Perfect. And so the name of your brand is Chloris. Can you kind of tell us what's behind the name?
Yeah, so we found that, good old Google search. She is the Greek goddess of flowers, and she's associated with spring and with new growth and with new beginnings. And we just felt like that was quite appropriate for this. We just changed the spelling because the original spelling is CH. So we changed it to a K so you could find us.
Okay, perfect. And I know, so when you and I initially spoke, I guess it was probably like four or five weeks ago at this point, we were talking about CBD, not only as a way to deal with anxiety, but we were also talking about public speaking and anxiety around public speaking. Can you kind of talk to us a little bit about like some of the research that your company was doing around this? Because I'm personally fascinated. I personally have a fear of public speaking. And, you know, I know it's just something that so many people deal with. So I'm curious from your perspective, like how CBD can sort of combat that.
Well, so that's actually not a study that we did. So that was a study that's on our website all the way back from 2011. I will send you a link to it so that you can link to it for your listeners because Perfect. It's a really valuable thing to read. It's a brilliant study. So what it was, sorry, I can't believe it's 10 years old now. So they had a control group that were given a pre-treatment of CBD. Then they had a group that had a placebo. And basically these groups of people were told that they were going to have to do a public speech, like a presentation with very little time to prepare. And they wired the individuals up to monitor physical responses to, you know, to stress and anxiety. So they were recording their heart rate, their breathing rate. They were also monitoring their ability to recall information under pressure. And everyone who had taken the CBD performed better than the people in the placebo group, which it's a really interesting study. But I think also not even just talking about CBD, but there's really, really helpful things that people can do if they do have a fear of public speaking, because like you say, everyone does. But it's addressing where that comes from. You know, why does my nervous system feel unsafe in that environment? And there is brilliant work you can do to unlearn those responses and fears that you've developed over time, because it could come from anywhere. It could come from school. You know, you had a bad experience standing up in front of a group and your inner child feels mocked or something, and you've carried that with you. Breathing techniques are really, really helpful as well. And if you combine all of those kind of unlearnings and CBD and breath work, I do really feel like anyone can be a confident speaker. You just have to allow yourself to go through to get that help, really. And there's a brilliant woman actually called Caroline Goyder. Everyone should read her book.
Okay, cool.
She basically helps people be good public speakers. She's amazing. We've done some work with her in the past.
Okay, cool. And I guess for listeners that are like curious about CBD, maybe thinking about like implementing it into our routine, like what's the best way? Like how do we start? And then maybe if you could talk on like CBD drops themselves, because there's so much on the market and it's a bit overwhelming. So I guess what's your sort of like perspective?
Well, you're completely right. There is so much noise out there and not all of it is helpful. So what we do at Chloris is that we have our free blog where we update with like unbiased sources of information and data and kind of demystifying of all that noise, as you say. And we go through different topics. And as you said, for example, the public speaking blog post is something that we did something on that was super popular. But this is the drops is an interesting one. And the reason why there is so much noise around it is that there's no set dosing rules. The general rule of thumb is to start low and build up as everyone's needs are so different. And in the UK, the FSA says up to a maximum of 70 milligrams per day. So it's easy to monitor that. You just, you know, count the drops. For example, in our 1,000 milligram, there's 5 milligram per drop. So you would just work that out accordingly, and start low and build up. And the way in which it works is that CBD interacts with the receptors in our body's endocannabinoid system. The endocannabinoid system is something that all mammals have, and it works to help create optimum balance, or a term that you may have heard or probably, you know, certainly would have read about if you've been reading about CBD, is that it works to create homeostasis, which essentially means balance. And it works with your body's rhythm. So, for example, you can take it during the day or in the morning with mood support, or you could take it 30, 40 minutes before bed to help aid a restful sleep. It's a super versatile compound, and I think that's why it has become so popular in recent years. And also the World Health Organization has documented that it has a brilliant safety profile. So by that, they mean, you know, it's not habit-forming, there aren't any unpleasant side effects. And I think people are looking for natural solutions and remedies just to help with their day-to-day. And CBD is super helpful for that.
Absolutely. And I guess if you're sort of new to the drops specifically, and you're maybe thinking about taking them for stress and anxiety purposes, like what can we expect to happen to us like in the first couple weeks? And then I guess like over time, like how long do you think it takes to sort of take its like true effects over time?
So it's suggested that if you're starting with the drops, you should take them every day consistently for a month to really get a gauge on how it makes you feel. But quite often people report feeling better within, you know, better, quote unquote, you know, they report feeling calmer or the absence of, you know, sort of extreme stress, you know, sometimes within 30 minutes of taking it. But really, everyone, as I say, is so individual, and you need to take the daily supplementation for at least a month and then assess how you feel. Quite often, the reports you'll hear back is, oh, it's the absence of something. So, oh, I just realized I didn't feel quite so stressed that day, for example.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
No, that makes so much sense. That's really helpful. And then I guess, what are some other hero products from the range or any like recent launches that you would like to talk to the audience about?
I mean, I'm a big believer in what you put on your skin is as important as what you put in your body. So we've worked for the past year on developing some really exciting new skincare that, as well as CBD, also contains chaga mushroom, and our chaga mushroom extract has actually been shown to boost collagen synthesis after using for a month. So it's all about supporting all of the topicals and skincare we do is all about supporting skin through stress, through stressful times, and trying to minimize the effect of external kind of stressors and aggressive environments on the skin. So everything that we have is about nurturing the skin's microbiome. It's very restorative. So as I say, there's always potent doses of CBD plus the chaga mushroom plus a whole bunch of other plant actives. And everything we do is at least 98.5% naturally derived ingredients. Majority of our products are actually 100%.
Okay, perfect. And I also know sustainability is hugely, hugely important to not only the brand, but to you as a founder. I guess, what are, I guess, a couple of things that you guys are doing to just sort of like keep on top of, you know, being a sustainable brand?
For us, it's like a constant kind of like checks and balances of all areas of our business. So our formulas are biodegradable. Our packaging is compostable where possible, you know, glass always. We don't use plastic. We work with various environmental initiatives like global multi-species tree planting, carbon offsetting. And we also make a point of regularly investing in projects and charities that are, you know, doing good things. And, you know, I'm not naive, you know, for example, in terms of carbon emissions, you know, we know that it's obviously the majority of it is created from a tiny handful of global companies. But at Chloris, we always kind of try and operate from, I guess, a place of personal responsibility, both as a company and as individuals. So we are always trying to do everything that we possibly can in our day to day.
So, Kim, switching gears a little bit, I know when you and I initially spoke, we talked about motherhood, and I feel like becoming a mom was such an integral part of your career journey and your change. I guess, can you take us back to sort of that time period?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Motherhood for me is everything. Like it certainly changed everything for me, and it was the most beautiful and necessary of changes. Like I needed it. And I'm forever grateful to my son, like just for being born. Honestly, it's something that I can't put into words. And that experience truly does change everything, or, you know, at least it did for me. I know obviously the experience is different for everyone, but I became very aware of the positive footprints I wanted to create, of the world he was coming into, what my role was in that. And actually, from the most simplistic of points, I just wanted to work out how I could find a way to be with him and have total control over my time. And you sort of strip away all of the, a lot of the things that you used to do or worry about, you know, or at least I did. I just didn't have time for it anymore. And I became so focused. I had this insane focus that I've never had. I could never sort of like muster this focus on my own. But after I became a mum, it was just felt really natural. So, yeah, I'm so grateful to motherhood. I just think it's the most precious thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're obviously juggling all of the things. your son, we were just talking, he's 4.5, and he's in school, which is great. Gives you your time back. But do you have any tips or advice for working women that are trying to launch their business and just do everything at once? Like, how do you manage this on your day to day?
So I think the first favor we can all do ourselves is to try and normalize the undoing of this concept, because I feel like, you know, even if it's just one conversation at a time, because I feel like it's inevitable at points there's this crazy juggle. And for a lot of people, including myself, it's like daily, you know, of trying to get everything done. But I just feel like, you know, if you're talking about running a business and running a family, you cannot do all of those things exactly in the same minutes of the day. Like, don't try to, because you're just going to suffer. And I really feel like you need separate times for separate things, even if it's 1 hour chunks where you can focus on work or focus on the house stuff, or, and just accept that things will take longer and it may be a bit frustrating at times, but that please don't try to do everything at the same time, because it's impossible, and it will just affect your sanity, I think.
Absolutely. I'm nodding because I completely, completely relate to this. You feel like your mind is in a million places, but I feel like the best moments in your business or with your child are kind of when you throw your hands up in the air and surrender.
Yes.
And
yes,
you're just like, I'm going to be here with you right now. But it's way easier said than done. Like, I will be the first to say that.
Of course. Of course. And you know what? It's not all doom and gloom. And exactly as you say, like you say, just silently nodding. And when you do surrender to it, it becomes more positive, and it isn't all doom and gloom. And it means that you can have it all. And in this instance, like we're talking about family and work, you just need to give yourself separate chunks of time. Like, so for me now, my son is older, so my chunks of time have got bigger, you know. So I do I do the family bit for 2-3 hours in the morning, and then I have a chunk of 5 hours of work, and then I have 3-4 hours in the evening. And then, admittedly, maybe rightly or wrongly, I don't know if I should do this, I then go back in the evening and do a couple of hours work before I round up my day. But I separate them out, and it just stops me feeling manic and fraught, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like compartmentalizing. We're talking about boundaries with time, but are there any other boundaries or like examples that you can give us in terms of like juggling motherhood and business? What are some other healthy boundaries that you've kind of implemented?
Yeah, really simple ones, to be honest. Like, I feel there has to be an off button. There has to be an off button on how contactable you are. And I think we need to address this culture of like, just because we use WhatsApp for work, particularly post-pandemic era, it doesn't make it healthy or okay to be contactable with a work question at 10 p.m. at night or something. Or there's this expectation that you need to reply, you know. And I think we need to really bring back like formal guidelines in boundaries on how contactable you are in a professional capacity in like a work environment. I don't actually know if that exists, you know, like formal guidelines on what isn't appropriate. And especially nowadays, like we're all working for a lot of people are working for themselves, or they have their own startups, they're entrepreneurs. And so you feel like this responsibility to, you know, it's your baby, right? It's your thing. So you will obviously want to be as accountable as you can, but still you have to give yourself that off button moment. And for me, that comes in the format of my evening routine. So it's my daily reset. And if I don't have that evening routine that will then lead into sort of positive sleep hygiene and a good night's sleep, things kind of unravel for me quite quickly.
Absolutely. Can you talk us through a little bit of like what your evening routine is?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that exciting, but I love it. I mean, it's a bath. I use our magnesium and CBD bath block like 3-4 nights a week, which I find helps really restore my magnesium levels, which gives me a great sleep. Phone off. That's the first thing that I would say is that like it's non-negotiable. Electronics away, because you'll see something will ping in, you'll get distracted and you'll just read it because you think you need to, and then the whole thing's out the window. So bath.
Are you literally turning the phone off? Are you going on airplane mode? I'm really curious.
So yeah, we have a rule in our house. It goes in the kitchen, at the back of the kitchen, on airplane mode, on charge, and it sits there till the next day.
Okay, what time is this happening at?
So Pedran's like, he's always telling me off because sometimes I break the rule. He's like, you just need to break. So definitely by 8:30, 9:00.
Okay.
I'm not on my phone.
That seems reasonable to do.
Yeah.
Like 8:30, 9 o'clock, like... It can wait till the next day. So, okay, cool.
Yes. Yeah. And also as well, you know what it's like with little, when you've got little ones, that you're up with the birds early, where you're up early. So, and I then check my phone really early, but I don't have it in the evening. So bath and then get into bed with a book. For me, reading has been such a source of solace. Like it's unbelievable how reading, especially if you pick the right material and it's something positive or lighthearted or something that's hopeful or just something, whatever you need in that moment. I always have like 5 books by my bedside, and just giving yourself 20 minutes to read, it just switches my mood into a relaxed, happy, calm, positive state within minutes.
Okay. This sounds like a dreamy routine we all need to implement. So Kim, this was such an amazing conversation. What do you want to leave our audience with? Is there like a single tip or a piece of advice you'd like to leave our listeners with?
God, the pressure.
No pressure.
I think like it's hard because sometimes our mind and our thoughts are not our best friend, and they're not always accurate or right. And we need to, I think like, except, you know, just acknowledge that sometimes all these kind of stream of consciousness thoughts is not necessarily what's going on in reality, and that our intuition is rarely wrong. So if you just give yourself a few minutes each day to try and sit with quietness and stillness and connect to your intuition, I just find that things flow better. So that would be my one bit of advice.
I love that. We love that advice. So thank you. What's next for you? Is there anything exciting for Chloris coming up or anything you want to share?
Yeah, I mean, there's always so much going on. We have more product launches. As I say, we're just having the beautiful skincare with the mushrooms coming out this week. And we have a bunch of podcast activity going on. We're working with some amazing breathwork coaches. We have something going on with Rebecca Dennis, who's Breathing Tree. She's absolutely fantastic. She does free breathing exercises online, available for everyone to keep forever. And she's just wonderful. And I suggest that you all check her out. So we're doing a bit of work with her.
Amazing. And where can everybody keep up with you, keep up with Chloris, and check you guys out?
Yeah, on Instagram with ChlorisCBD, and online we're chloris.co.
Amazing. Kim, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please share it with a friend and tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast. We love to hear your feedback, and we will catch you on the next episode.